Welcome to the audio lecture for the module on putting it all together, what's next. This is a module where I'm going to talk through a bit on how to deliver messages, how to integrate this information that you're receiving from your intuition into your healing practices, what your messages might mean, some ethics and boundaries and things, responsibilities around delivering messages, as well as ongoing support. So in terms of delivering messages, if you are someone that is stepping up and doing this now, doing psychic readings for your clients or opening up a psychic reading practice, the messages on delivering messages are going to be a little bit more comprehensive than if it's something you're integrating into your practice, although there are a lot of parallels there. As you're delivering messages, you just want to keep in mind so many of the things that we've already covered in terms of intention, setting highest intentions, checking baggage at the door, et cetera. Know that what we do here is there's somewhat of a counseling role, but we're not professional counselors, right? So we are bound by ethics of our own assignment unless we also have professional degrees that have another layer of professional ethics to add on to this. So just as I spoke earlier on keeping the highest intentions, we want to continue that through here. We want to keep in mind the law of vibration and really keep our messages as uplifting and positive as possible. We don't want to deliver any negative messages. If there's something that we are getting, an impression that we're getting, we want to be sure that we can check with our higher self, our intuition, to see a positive outcome to what it is that we're witnessing at the moment or what it is that we're experiencing via the impression. You know, you don't want to say to someone, I'm seeing a car accident, I don't know what this is about. If we're seeing a car accident, we want to check in with our higher self before we share that impression with a client and say, show me what's next, show me how this is beneficial. So maybe then we see, you know, the client walking away, the client being handed money. Maybe we see the client being taken away in an ambulance and their life completely changing. I haven't seen something like that, thank goodness, but if I saw something like that, I would be inclined to not share details of an accident, but say to the person, it looks like something's coming that will be a big shift in your life. They'll have a positive outcome, but it might feel surprising when it comes through. So I might offer something like that. You know, we want to try to keep it as uplifting and positive as we can. We also, you know, given that we're not, well, assuming that we're not professional counselors, some of you may be professional therapists, physicians, counselors, et cetera, we are not certain of our client's mental health state. So we need to really consider the responsibility that comes along with sharing these impressions that we're getting from our higher selves, from our intuition, in that they can carry a lot of weight for people. If people are appreciating these impressions from us or coming to us directly for a reading, they're doing so likely because they're not taking the time to check in themselves. Or maybe they check in for themselves, but they feel that they want someone who's, you know, less emotionally involved with the situation. Like the reasons that I would go to see a psychic, check in on some of my own personal things that I might hold a view that I'm too closely connected to emotionally, so I'd go to a professional for that. But we want to just sort of really appreciate the gravity of the responsibility when we're delivering messages to people, why they're coming to us, how these can help them, and, you know, in some cases, how people might take what we say really literally. So we want to set the stage appropriately. We want to leave them uplifting. Now, if we're integrating this information into our healing practices, so we're a massage therapist who's receiving impressions, the way that we want to go about raising the this concept of delivering messages is while we're in session with our hands-on working with a client, we might start out simply by saying, I'm getting an impression that, and then deliver the message, or I feel like, and then deliver the message. We want to avoid saying, I think, for a couple reasons. Whether the clients are receptive to the psychic hits that we're getting or not, we want to stay out of stating, I think, because that sort of places us into our left-sided analytical brain. So imagine even you thought some language around delivering your messages to your clients, whether in a psychic reading or as an integrated aspect of the therapy that you offer your clients. Think about languaging that and think about keeping that more in right brain type language, creative, emotional, intuitive. The impression that I get, the feeling that I get around this, you know, often I sense vibes and I'm getting this vibe, this really loving vibe about this person that you're talking about, or, you know, this doesn't make me feel very comfortable hearing about the person you're talking about. There's something off with their energy. You know, we want to think through how we language things for our clients so that they come from that intuitive well. The words come straight from that intuitive well as well. All right. We also need to consider that as we share these impressions, either as an overlay to our existing practice or as a standalone service offering intuitive readings to clients, that it may bring up stuff for other people. And so we need to stand confidently in an open space and with humility for the people that are coming to us. There may be times that they become upset or emotionally overwhelmed by what we're saying, and we need to be able to stand in that confident place of the healing professional and you know, treat them with respect. We want to make sure that we are able to offer these impressions with no judgment and really just with humility. You know, allow them the space, hold the space for them to have an emotional shifting, whether it's, you know, tears or expressing something around the situation, whether excitement, sadness, et cetera. And stick with that message. You know, ours is not to shift our message so that it makes the client feel more comfortable. One of the things that we can do to really discredit ourselves quickly would be to do that. You know, I'm getting the impression that, you know, apples really aren't your thing. You don't like apples, as an example. And the client says, that's not true. I love apples. And then if we were to say, oh, well, then maybe they're showing me the opposite. They're telling me that you love apples. You know, we're completely sitting around 180 on the message we've just delivered. We're immediately discrediting ourselves. So even if the client gives a pushback, the client doesn't agree, the client doesn't know what you're talking about, you want to stand in your confidence with the message. Often, after the client leaves the session, it'll make sense. A few hours later, the next day, a week later, it might hit them. There will also be times where there are things that we share and impressions that we share that doesn't make any sense to the client. What I've always said to my clients is, if there's something that I share that doesn't resonate for you, that doesn't make any sense, please put it in your back pocket or put it on a shelf. Don't, you know, turn over mentally anything that I share with you if it doesn't make sense to you, if it doesn't feel right to you, if it doesn't resonate for you. This is very much, as I've said before, a sounds like, smells like, tastes like type of process. It's not exact. So I offer that to the client so that they're able to comfortably say, no, that doesn't make sense, let's move on to another topic, and, you know, neither person feels uncomfortable. They have the ability, they've been given the respect to sort of hold on to what makes sense and let go of what doesn't, and you're standing in that position of really the professional, the intuitive professional, while you do that. So keep in mind that we want to remain positive and uplifting with the messages. And we want to remain ethical, responsible. We don't want to be delivering negative messages. And we want to remember that for some people, you know, the outcome of these conversations can be incredibly powerful for people. You will hear back from your clients, wow, you know, when you shared that impression with me, it was a little bit hard for me to hear, but it made so much sense that it helped me do X, Y, Z in my life. There's a lot. There's a lot that comes along with sharing this level of knowledge with clients. It's really beautiful. It's a very, very beautiful process and can be very fulfilling. We need to do it, though, from a place of serving the client and not being wrapped up in either outcomes or validation from the client. It is not their job to tell us whether we're right, to tell us whether they like what we heard or not. So choose not to share impressions if you're doing it for any kind of a purpose that's self-serving to you, meaning that you want validation. Those are not the right reasons to be doing this work or offering intuitive readings. Do it from a positive place of service, please. Now, when you're receiving impressions, bear in mind, too, that you will be getting things through your filter. So it may be that you are getting symbols that are a metaphor, symbolic for something. For instance, when I see a tree with roots, it means to me, my guides know, my higher self knows, it's a symbol for grounding and nature. So it's less about the literal tree, especially when it's an oak tree. It's about grounding and nature. So I've learned by working with my own intuition journal and forming an intuition encyclopedia for myself, I've learned sort of what certain symbols might mean through that filter of me. There are many times where things will come up that are quite literal, and I'll say to the client, you know, I'm seeing a jack, as in like a ball and jacks. And I don't know what this means. You know, this would mean, it seems to be a message to play more, to have fun, to keep light. But I'm also seeing a literal jack, and that might mean something to you. In that case, I had the client say to me, my son's name's Jack, and that's why I'm here to talk to you. So often it'll be through my filter primarily, and then often it'll be something literal that I just tell the client what I'm seeing as opposed to trying to interpret it, because it'll have more relevance to them. So keep all of that in mind as you're getting impressions too. Try not to struggle too much with interpreting what the message means. You know, if you're not, if something's not coming to you about the symbolism of something, just say to the client, I'm seeing an oak tree, there are these bluebirds on it, and then I'm seeing this, and then I'm seeing that, and I'm feeling this, and I'm hearing water. And all of this put together might mean X, Y, Z for me, but this may mean something else for you. So just try to approach things from an open place of confidence, not necessarily in an authoritative way, because it may mean something to the client that you won't even have access to in terms of the interpretation. We're really a conduit and a channel when we're offering these messages. They're coming from our higher self. They're coming from our intuition. They're coming from our guides. They're coming from our psychic side. But they're coming through us, and they're meant to be delivered to the client as we are experiencing them. Sometimes that means overlaying impression, interpretation. Oftentimes it doesn't. So you've kind of got to lead this to the next point. You've kind of got to know your client too. Are they someone that's going to have the capacity to think broadly, expansively in terms of metaphor and symbol? You may need to cue them to do that. You'll learn quickly if there's someone that's going to take it literally and, oh, I don't know anyone, you know, with red shoes. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, try to get them to open up their energy a little bit and be a little bit less constricted and open-minded to what it could mean for them. Chances are in those types of cases, 3 hours, three hours later, they'll be walking down the road and something will hit them. Oh, I know what she was talking about. That makes sense. I do understand what that meant. So that often happens. Another thing that can come up with this process as you're delivering messages are long pauses or periods of silence. So get comfortable with that. A lot of times what I'll say to clients is, I'm tuning in. Or I might say, bear with me while I'm clarifying this impression that I'm getting. Those are the examples of when someone knows consciously that I'm doing, you know, a psychic reading for them. If it's someone that I was doing a healing session for, or if I were in a position to be doing Reiki or massage on someone, if I did those services, I'm a Reiki master, but I don't do Reiki sessions per se, I might just have less of a reason to explain the pause and the quiet. But if it's someone that I was, say, doing a massage on and they knew that I was an intuitive person, I might say, you know, bear with me, I'm getting some clarification on this impression. Or if I shared something with them and they say, I'm not sure what you mean, I might say, okay, hold on, let me see what more I can sense here, and address the upcoming pause in that fashion. One more thing I'll say about our responsibility is it's important that we don't take on someone else's stuff. You know, with the responsibility of delivering messages, what we say may trigger them, may trigger something in them, may trigger anxiety in them, or set them getting excited about what they can do next with possibilities. And our role is not to figure that stuff out or help them figure that stuff out. Our role is really to inspire and serve and uplift with the messages that come through us that we deliver to them. So we want to make sure that we maintain those boundaries of responsibility and not take on someone else's stuff, not decide that it's our job to give them three different ideas, you know, as to how they can start that project that they were looking at that we had some insight into. Just make sure to keep those boundaries where they need to be. Also, in terms of practice integration for your messages, you are obviously the best person to know how to best integrate these things into your practice. If you are a counselor, a massage therapist, a nurse, a physician, really any type of practitioner, and you're not sure how to go about that, feel free to drop me an email, or we can jump on the phone and talk about it. I can also put you in touch with someone in your profession that you might be able to be sort of accountability buddies with or friends with, you know, intuitive friends with that you can bounce things off of, find out how it's working for them, how they've been integrating them into their practice. Often it's just a matter of languaging. As soon as we can find language that we're comfortable with. You know, some people are comfortable just saying, well, you know, I get the impression that X, Y, Z. So it may already be a way that they're speaking to their clients. And the fact that you're incorporating now your intuitive impressions is seamless. You know, it isn't even necessarily seen to the client. So it's not a matter of having to, quote, quote, out yourself about the sources of your information as you access your intuition and your higher self. The reality in that case is you've always been accessing your intuition and your higher self. You just may not have been aware that you were doing it consciously, or you may not have felt conscious about how you were doing it. Now it feels more of a, like more of a conscious process, a conscious check-in to you. But remember, you have always been intuitive. You were born intuitive. You were born with six senses. So this isn't a huge shift in how you're getting information. It's more of a huge shift about how you're realizing that you're getting information, if that makes sense. It's a great idea with this work, particularly after 5 modules, to continue to practice. So practice either with your partner, with a friend, with other colleagues, practice with people that you've met in the Facebook group. You know, you can practice on the phone, you can practice over email, you may be able to practice in person. I offer public seances locally if you'd like to practice that way. And if you are interested in moving on to doing some or considering some one-on-one intuitive development mentoring, you know, let me know. We can talk about that. That group of people has a private development group where we meet a number of times per month to practice. So that's another option too. If you're farther away, you're not local to me, any message circles, seances, meetup groups, you might be able to find spiritual community where they're doing these things and you can continue to practice. Bounce experiences off of someone that you relate to and continue learning through them and continue growing and expanding yourself in those other areas. It's a great thing to do to have support, to find someone to support you through this process. While I believe that there is an awakening occurring in this world and that we will all benefit when we're all more in touch with our intuition, it doesn't mean that it's a subject and a topic of conversation in all places yet. So having those people to support you can be really helpful through this process as you're growing and expanding these newfound skills into your practice. With that, I will say that, just again to kind of reiterate what I've said before, it's my belief that we're moving out of an era of intelligence and into an era of intuition. Know that you walk powerfully on this leading edge. And I thank you all for working with me, and I wish you all the best. Take care.